And then we'll get into the message after make just a few other comments as well. 1 Corinthians 1, you can find your place, you can look this way, and I'll mention just a couple of things that I'm burdened about and have been for a while in the area of soul winning. On the table, that can be a great help to you. First of all, is a great book. It's a classic book from John Rice. It's Soul Winner's Fire. This is actually his first book that he had written. And I tell you, it is tremendous. I remember listening to John Rice preach on cassette tapes. Remember those? Be kind, rewind, you know? I was traveling single just for a little while before we were married. And I had to pull off the road because I was crying so much because of the heart of compassion that he had for souls. And it's just amazing that there's times he would preach through messages and he'd be sobbing, weeping, and hardly could get through the message because of it. I tell you, when you read the book, it will increase your burden and it'll increase also your awareness for souls, but then also give you some practical help in talking to people. But most importantly is gaining and seeing we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to witness. It cannot be something we just muster up and work on. Another book is great. It's probably been the best seller, I guess, if you could have one on our book table over the years. And it's also by John Rice. It's called Bible Facts About Heaven. It's wonderful for Christians to be able to read. Heaven is a lot more real when you know people that are there, isn't it? It's just amazing. I have friends in heaven. I have family members. My mom is in heaven. And it really has become a lot more real because of that. You ever wonder what they're doing up in heaven? You know, can they see us in heaven? Well, he answers those questions that we wonder and we question about from God's Word, and he helps us with that. But also, there's a section on how to know for sure that you're going to heaven. And we've given this out a number of times as an evangelistic tool. Now, I wouldn't give it out as a tract because it is a book, a booklet. You know, it isn't something that anybody would just read. But if you know somebody that is religious, that is searching, that would read, then, and you have a rapport with that person, that's the type of person I would encourage you to do it, because religious people and people that are going to church would read a book about heaven, and then they can find out the truth, how to know for sure they're getting there. Also, a great family video is When Silence Speaks. It's a full-length motion picture film that was put out and produced by the Bill Rice Ranch, and it's been used the Lord greatly to see right away in the first few months it was released. There were a couple hundred people that had trusted Christ as Savior in the public viewings of it. Just tremendous. We passed it out in New York City in our outreach there and so many other different places. And it's great. The gospel is given three different times and crystal clearly. So you could be able to put this in and a child could understand salvation. But also it's a great testimony, great encouragement for Christians as well. And a good family film. But I've given it away to family members or ones that I've been burdened about as far as reaching them with the gospel. I haven't been able to get through the gospel, or they haven't come to church. And I'll give them that and they'll watch a film or a movie, and it's a good outreach. So I encourage you with those things, especially about the area of soul winning. Also, one other thing, we do not have prayer cards at the time. Those are going to be printed very, very shortly. But we do have an itinerary page, and it does have a picture of the entire team. And we encourage you to pray for us and take one of these and put it up on your refrigerator. When you see my picture, when you go to the fridge, you're going to be encouraged not to eat and snack in between meals. And it'll be great. It'll be a dual purpose, and you can pray. And thank the Lord for Brother Miller and the diet plan that he's helped me with. You know, you can do that. But if you would, take one of those, pray for us, and there's our website on there. We encourage you to follow our updates with that and through other means as well. Be able to use some of the technology to be able to help us keep everyone up on what the Lord is doing in our ministry, and that'll help you to remember to pray for us. And so I'd encourage you with that. Let me say, just before getting the message, thank you so much. It has just been wonderful to be here, and so many of you have gone above and beyond just not just opening your heart in the services and being polite, but doing something for us, giving us something, checking on our needs, asking if we need something. We're thankful for the food, the gifts, the several things that have been just provided for us, and we're very, very grateful for that. We love your church, and I tell you, you have a wonderful pastor's family, and thank God for them. They're gems, and we really appreciate the royalties and the opportunity to be here. Pastor's gone, apparently, so he must have... I said, well, I'm going to invite him to preach and then I'm going to leave. And so there is my thanks to Pastor. And so we'll have to do that later. But I really am thankful for the opportunity. I don't take that lightly. You have 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's go ahead and stand, if you would, out of respect to God's Word, if you're capable. And let's read just two verses, 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18. The Bible says this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the," help me out, "it is the power of God." It is the power of God. The preaching of the gospel, the gospel presentation, the proclamation of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful. The question tonight we have is, where is your power? Matthew 28, the Bible says, "All power is given unto to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." In Mark, he says, "Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature." Later in verse 20, in Mark 16, verse 20, it says, "And they went everywhere, they obeyed the Lord, going ever preaching everywhere, and the Lord was with them." In Luke chapter 23, he says, "Tarry ye until you be endued with power from on high." In John, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, he says, "After this you shall receive the power," "but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." Power from the Spirit of God to be witnesses. But we have to ask the question tonight, dear Christian, where is the power that is promised from the Spirit of God? Let's bow and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I ask that you would help us in a very clear and a very obvious way. Help us to allow you to do your work in our hearts and our lives. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I was preaching revival meetings in the state of Kentucky, and I remember holding those services and looking out from the church. I could see a neighbor just sitting on his porch. He sat up there a couple of times throughout the week, and I was burdened to be able to go invite him to the services. I walked over and I said, "Sir, we're having a special conference at the church. It's a revival conference. Would you be interested in coming? We would love to have you come to church. Would you come?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Okay, all right. Well, more important than knowing, coming to church is knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. Do you know that you're going to heaven?" He said, "Yep, I sure do." I said, "Well, how do you know that?" And he started to tell me how he knew that. And he took a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that religion, and he mixed it all together, and it was convoluted. It was confused. I tell you, I have never heard anybody describe how they think they're getting to heaven like this guy. I've heard people say, "I think I'm doing pretty good. I think I've done the good enough things. I think God will let me in because I'm a nice person." Oh, whatever the case is, and I've been religious or I've been baptized. All the wrong thinking, but this guy took them all and just mixed it up and had a whole pot of soup, you know, boiled down to be works. But it was just amazing to be able to hear that. I tried to give him the gospel. I was explaining to him salvation. However, when I was talking to him, I felt no influence in him and on his mind and in the conversation at all. And I left the conversation asking the question, where is my power? Now, you understand, I'm not speaking of my power, myself, but the power promised to me by God through the Holy Spirit to witness. Still, the same week, I remember I was preaching not only in the church, but also in the Christian school. And as I did so, there was a young man there in high school who did not attend that church. He attended another church that did not preach salvation by grace through faith. And so afterwards, he asked me some questions. I thought, oh, this is so good. He wants to learn how to be saved. No, he wanted to debate and to prove that salvation was through some other means besides trusting in Christ alone. And it went from a level of a debate to a level of an argument. I was frustrated. I was irritated. I was upset at that young man. And I left that conversation with him, according to what I could see, no closer to the gospel at all. And I asked, where is my power? That is the power of the Holy Spirit that's promised. Still the same week, I preached a message that week, I believe it was on hell. And a lady came as a guest, a visitor, and she said, I don't believe a loving God would send somebody to hell. I explained to her that a loving God is a holy God, and that sin must be punished, and there is a judgment, and it is hell, the lake of fire forever, but she can't be saved. She would have none of it. She left and stormed out of the church. And again, I asked the question, where is my power? Now, I understand there are going to be times when we witness where someone has the choice, and in their own volition, their own will, they choose not to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't think every time we witness, the person will be saved. I know that there are billions of people on the planet, and they're going to hear, many of them will hear the gospel, but not everyone will accept Christ. I understand that. But I also understand there should be powerful, effective enabling from the Spirit of God to be a witness, to be able to impact the lives of others, their thinking, and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's got to come a place in our life when we get hungry, we get thirsty, and we stop saying, well, I witnessed to them, it's off me, and it's okay. You know, people aren't always going to be saved, and get so burdened where we ask the truth, and we finally face it, and we say, where is my power in witnessing? As we look to this, we're going to see that obviously the Holy Spirit wants to empower us and to give us the powerful gospel to be able to see a multitude come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. God can use you and God can use me, and He wants to give us the power. How do you do so? Well, after that time in Kentucky and God was doing a work in my heart, my life, over the next several months, God showed me truths. And I'm going to keep that again. Very simple. This is not alliterated. It is not fancy, but it's just one truth built upon another truth and another truth. Normally, I say in one text at a time, but it's going to be just going from one to another, seeing how the truths build and how it changed and impacted my life, specifically the area of witnessing and soul winning. The first truth and first principle we're going to see is simply this. The gospel is still powerful. Number one, the gospel is still powerful. I'm so glad I didn't have to repeat it two or three times before you said amen. And that is true. The gospel is powerful. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the what? The gospel. Let's do that again. We're a little weak on that one. But to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words. Why? Because wisdom and the whole idea of a practical, polished presentation is not the emphasis. It is the power and the effectiveness of God, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It continues on. It says even in, let's skip down to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Here is this man, Paul, and he was afraid. He was in terror. He was nervous. He said, no. This is the great apostle Paul. He was never afraid to witness. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3. And it says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. Now let me ask, most Saturday mornings or most outreaches from a church, evangelistic outreach, soul winning time on Saturday, on Thursday, whenever it is, would power truly characterize that time? Or would it be weakness, fear, trembling? You know what we need to do this Saturday? Now, we're going to be gone. We're going to be heading to the next church. You know what? As you meet together to sow in and go out and give the gospel, you ought to have just a time you come in and we're going to start a club. It's the WFT club. The Weakness, Fear, and Trembling Club. And you say, I can be a part of that. I'm afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever felt weak? Have you ever felt fearful? Yes. So did the great apostle Paul. You know what? And I underlined those three words, weakness, fear, and trembling, because not only did it describe the apostle Paul, it described evangelist Chris Miller. And I was weak, I was fearful, but at the same time I was burdened for souls, and I wanted to see people saved, but I kept pushing when the door wasn't opened. and in the flesh trying to dominate the situation or the conversation to be able to bring them to the gospel. That didn't work either. I had to come to the realization it must be a demonstration of power, and is the power of the Spirit of God using the powerful Word of God. It says in verse 4 of chapter 2, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That power of the gospel is still very powerful right now. What is the gospel message? In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, it says this, that Christ died for our sins, and He was buried according to the Scriptures, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. Truth is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection is that gospel message that He did, and He did so for our sins. That phrase must be included. That's the reason why. That's the purpose He died on the cross. And the authority is according to the Scriptures. The Christ's death, His burial, His resurrection. Why? For our sins, according to the Scriptures. That message, by itself, without your polished presentation, without your wonderful 15 steps, and your 13-week course, and without doing this, and without your Bible education, it is a powerful message. Folks, it is not, you read 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, it is not based upon your personality. It's not based upon your upbringing, your training, your effectiveness, and how you can do things. It is based upon the Spirit of God and the powerful gospel message, and it is the power of preaching the gospel, and also that power to be able to see absolutely anyone saved. Do you believe that anybody can be saved in today's time? Or do you have somebody in your heart and your life? I mean, it's great to hear stories of somebody else's person that's hard and cold getting saved, but how about the ones that you know? How about that family member that will get irate when you bring up God, church, or the Lord Jesus Christ? Christmas time, don't bring it up. They don't want to listen. They'll hang up on the phone. They won't have nothing to do with you because of that. How about that neighbor that is so grumpy and so cold and doesn't want to listen and thinks you're a kook because you're a Christian with standards? How about that coworker that, again, has given you that hard time and that difficult time? Isn't there somebody in your heart and your life you think, man, I don't know about this person? I had somebody in my life. He was my neighbor. He lived across the street from me. His name was Larry and his last name was Miller. No relationship whatsoever. And Larry Miller lived across the street. I was a teenager. He was probably late 40s, 50 years old at the time. And he was just a rough character. He would come home. I won't tell you everything he does. But he would come home and immediately he'd have a beer in his hands. Hit the six-pack on the weekend or even in the weeknights. And it was just a normal thing. He had a pretty rough speech. And I'd invite him to church. He wouldn't come. I tried to give him a track. I thought, he's not reading it. But I got to know him because I mowed his grass. I did yard work, and he paid me to do his yard work and trim his yard. And so I did that. And after I pay him, I'd give him another track. I said, hey, did you read the last one? He said, oh, yeah, I read it. And I said, so you understand that you're a sinner? Yeah. You understand because you're sin, there's a punishment? Oh, yeah. You understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and He paid the penalty for you, and He rose again? Oh, yeah. And I get, now you know that the only one decision you need to make is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It was just right over. I thought, he didn't read it. You know, he's not, he's just like, yeah. I gave you your $10, kid. Now go. So I'm thinking that's probably it. I thought, in my life, if anybody can't be saved, it's my neighbor, Larry Miller. Well, for some reason, though, God did give me favor with Larry Miller. And every once in a while, he'd give me a call. He called me up. He said, hey, Chris, I'm having an attack. Was it a heart attack? A cardiac arrest? No, it was a Dairy Queen attack. Very dangerous. He said, no, I'm having a Dairy Queen attack. I said, okay, I'll go to the curb. I got permission from my parents. I go to the curb, and he picked me up. Just 3 blocks away was a Dairy Queen. Very dangerous to be that close. And we would eat ice cream, and over a blizzard or a parfait, I would talk to him about heaven and about his soul, how he could get there to heaven. And I'm thinking, he's not listening at all. There's nothing is getting through to this guy. Well, he moved away, and I went off to Bible college. And I think it was at the first semester, maybe it was after the first year, I received a letter from Larry Miller. And I remember I opened the letter in the kitchen, and I took the envelope, and I set it down on the table, and I took the letter, and I took it into the living room, and I sat down and on the couch, and I started reading the letter. And right away, I noticed Larry Miller didn't use the same type of language that he used to use. In fact, he used some Christian terms. And I kept reading, and I got down to the lower part of the letter, and it said, "Remember all those times you talked to me about my soul and about Christ?" And he said, "And I acted as if it wasn't getting through." He said, "Well, it was. And because of you today, I trusted Christ as Savior." Folks, I am telling you the absolute truth. It was a 3-page letter. I went to the 3rd page to see if Larry Miller really signed it. Because I said, "God, this is the guy that can't get saved." I honestly did this. I went back into the kitchen. I grabbed the table, the envelope, and to see if Larry Miller's address, return address, was really on it. This is the guy that can't get saved. And guess what? He was saved. You know what? God can save Larry Millers. And that's exactly the case. He is somewhere in his 70s now, and late 70s, and every once in a while, I'll get a call. And he's a rather big guy, and he goes, "How's my little buddy?" And I said, "Oh, I'm doing good, Brother Larry. It's good to talk to you." And he's better at calling me than I am calling him. And I remember one time he said, "Well, how's it going in the ministry?" I said, "Well, you know, we've got some needs in the ministry." I was kind of, you know, this kind of, you know, whiny little thing. And, you know, I said, "Well, I've got some needs. And, you know, we're praying about this." We said, "You know, God's going to take care of you, don't you?" I'm going, "Wait a minute. Here's a guy that can't get saved. And now he's preaching to me about trusting the Lord. That's exactly my problem. It's just trusting." You know what? God can save absolutely anyone. God can save someone out of Hinduism. He's done exactly that in one of our revival meetings. On a Sunday morning, a lady trusting Christ as Savior because her brother invited her there. She was going through a divorce. She turned her back on Hinduism and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And after she was saved that morning, right away, she asked us, not we had to tell her. She said, "Can you baptize me?" We said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, no, no. Because baptism doesn't save you. We need you to understand that this doesn't wash away your sins." She said, "Oh, I understand. But I want to be baptized to show that I'm following Jesus Christ." It was incredible. She has stories that she shared. Both her and Larry Miller are on a DVD presentation of the gospel from our ministry. And we really want to get that out. And that, they share their testimony and so many others on how God answers prayer, and God certainly uses the powerful gospel to save absolutely anyone. God can save anyone in your heart, in your life, in your family, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Why? Because the gospel is still powerful. The first principle is the gospel is still powerful. Number two is that there are people ready to be saved right now. Number two, there are people ready to be saved right now. It's not a fancy outline, but the truth is there. Look at John chapter 4. You can leave 1 Corinthians 1 and look at John chapter 4 and find verse 35. There are people ready to be saved right now. John 4 and verse 5, the Bible says this. "Say not ye," I'm sorry, I need to give you another second or two to find that. John chapter 4, verse 35. And we're going to see the second truth, that people are ready to be saved right now. In verse 35 it says this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." What does it mean to have a field, specifically a harvest, that is white already to harvest? That means that the crop is ready to be picked. If you wait any longer, stay there, it's going to drop. It will rot if you don't harvest it. Go get it right now. It says, "Say not ye, there yet 4 months." One time I was staying with a farmer. He was a hog farmer and then also had several crops. And they started already to harvest some of the outside of the crops and the outside of the fields. And it was September. If we were sitting there, we say, "You know what, 4 months and the harvest is going to come." 4 months, October, November, December, January. The freeze would come, winter would come. What would happen to the harvest? The harvest would be lost. The truth is, that same truth in principle is true spiritually. That there is a white harvest, folks, right this moment. There are people ready to be saved. And that is true. But here we come to God's Word, and we often do this. We come and we look through a filter. And our filter says, no. Well, you see, you know, that's true, but that's true just in certain areas of the country. Or that's true in a different country. Philippines, oh yeah, man, that's great. You ought to go there someday. I do want to go there. Oh, Africa, you ought to go there. I want to go there next year, Tanzania. Oh, over here, Myanmar and Burma. Oh, just a sweeping revival and souls being saved. Well, that's true. There are people ready to be saved over there. But what about the United States of America? What about Ohio? What about Cleveland and the surrounding areas? Brother Miller, this is different up here. They're not in the South. We don't say howdy. How's y'all doing? And everybody's not nice to each other. We shoot and then we say howdy. You know, that's it up here. This is North. You know, the truth is, there are people ready to be saved right now. And what we need to do is believe it and take it as a fact. Now, notice in the truth here of John 4:35, it doesn't say that the harvest will be white. It shall one day be white. Claim it someday and ask God for it. No, it is ready right now. And I learned the difference. Whenever there's a promise of God's Word and it says, I will and I shall, we ask for that promise. But when there is something, when God said it is, then we act by faith upon that promise. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do so. What we need to see is that the gospel is still powerful right now without you and without me. Number two, there are people ready to be saved right now. Okay, now if we're thinking, all right, we got the gospel is powerful, there are people ready to be saved, then you got to ask the question, Brother Miller, where are they? I went to the bank, and my experience said, the teller said, no, I don't have the tract. I went to the grocery store, and the person said, yeah, I'll take it, but they weren't interested in hearing anything. And I know they're just going to throw it away. My neighbor wouldn't come to the services in Friend Day. I talked to someone, and I went to the door, and I knocked on the door, and they slammed the door in my face. Where are the people ready to be saved right now? That's a real good question. Let's look at Acts chapter 8 and find the answer. Acts chapter 8 in the book of Acts, and let's find the answer. Here in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist has been preaching. As he's been preaching, souls have been saved. He's been preaching to large crowds. But now God has something else for him. God has the Holy Spirit wants him to go to another place, another location. Look at, if you would, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, simply obeyed. By the way, before you can get to the area of obeying the Spirit and witnessing, are you obeying the Spirit in the still small voice throughout the day in other areas? If he said, no, 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 turn that off. No, don't listen to that. In your car, no, don't do this. And we're saying no, 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 and we're ignoring conviction throughout the day, do not be surprised if you ignore the conviction of that impulse to give someone a track. Have you ever left a gas station, left a restaurant, and go, oh man, I should give that person a track? Now, who do you think's reminding you of that? You go, I really did. Now, you know, they're already out here. I don't know how many times I've gone all the way up to the vehicle, all the way back in. You know, we need to obey the Spirit. And oftentimes, we'll just kind of quench it. No, no, no. Maybe the next person to get them. Yeah. No. You know, I'm sure it's just, you know, they may not even read it. Let's obey the Spirit when he comes to give us opportunities. Here now, he just says, Philip, go and go to this area. And he goes and he obeys. He sees and he behold a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, and a Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. What is going on? Well, we need to back up and see the principles that's really going on. Number one, the gospel is still powerful. Number two, there are people ready to be saved right now. And here's number three. The Holy Spirit can lead you to them. The Holy Spirit can lead you to them. He's the one that sets up these divine times, these scheduled events, to be able to have you go to this location, go to this person, be able to meet that one. Why? Because he wants to use a Christian that is ready. He is getting ones ready right now. The Spirit of God is getting ones ready to be able to be saved. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is at work right now. And he knows the ones that are ready to be saved. He knows who's in this area, who is in their home, clicking online, searching, trying to surf through, trying to figure out who has the truth. How are they going to get to the gospel? How are they get, they're Googling things like heaven and Jesus and church, and they're trying to figure out how it is to be saved. It's like a Nicodemus of today's time. They're at home. They don't want to come out and just do it. And the next person that comes and knocks on their door, they're going to listen to what they say. And I sure hope it's not going to be Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons or someone else in a cult that will not preach Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith in him alone. And if we could just be that one to be able to go. I heard a story of a pastor who preached in Tennessee just recently, and he shared some pictures just of himself when he was saved as a 21-year-old, long-haired hippie, his wife unsaved. A pastor had come to their home. They had been searching. They had been wondering, trying to figure out the gospel, trying to figure out how to go to heaven. They were having problems and issues, and they went to Jehovah's Witness. And they went there, and they came home. They said, man, we're just more confused than ever. It doesn't make sense. They had a Bible. They started trying to read it. They couldn't make sense of things. And they prayed. They prayed this. They said, God, if you're really out there, would you bring someone to show us the truth? And the next day, this preacher comes and knocks on their door. You know what? They were right already to harvest. They were ready to be saved right there. They just needed someone. And now that man is a pastor in Georgia and has been faithful for over 25 years of leading other people to Christ as well. The Holy Spirit can lead you to them. I remember when I first started seeing this and really recognizing the truth of this, I said, okay, God, the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to see people saved, and he can lead me right now. And I'm driving and as I'm driving to a church, I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready right now. I know the gospel is so powerful. I know there are people ready to be saved. The Holy Spirit can lead me. And I believe right now, I was having probably the greatest personal revival ever in my life. And I believe with all my heart, I'm filled with the Spirit. Okay, I'm driving. I'm asking God right now, not sometime in the future, not sometime in the next couple of months. Right now, Lord, would you show me and direct me to someone that's ready to be saved? I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I see a neon light. And the neon light says, Chris, turn here. No, it didn't say that. The neon light said, Walgreens, drugstore. So I pulled over. I had a piece of my heart, that's where I should go. I had my track ready, and I walked into the place. And as I did so, I'm looking around. I'm going, okay, where's the person that's ready to be saved? Are they in aisle one? No. Three, no, five, seven. I'm going back, going through and trying to find them. And I said, well, I need to get a few items. So I got my items, and I'm just trying to see if I can get a conversation with somebody because the gospel is powerful, and people are ready to be saved, and the Holy Spirit can lead me to them. I'm trusting right now to do so. And so here I am. I'm waiting, and I said, well, I'll go ahead and get in line. I get in line. There's people in front of me. There's people now starting to get behind me. It's fairly busy. And I get up to the front. Now it's my turn. I purchase my items. And I say to the young man, after I do so, I said, here is a pamphlet. I call it Tracts Pamphlets. I said, here's a pamphlet, and it has verses from the Bible that can help you. That's how I said it. I don't know why, but I did. And he stopped, college age, I guess, probably young, early 20s or so, and he opened it and he started reading it right there. There are people in line waiting behind him. And he starts reading it. And I said, hey, what's your name? He said, Cortrell. I said, Cortrell, I'm going to a church service right now, but when I'm done, I could come back and I could talk to you. Hey, how late are you working? He said, until June. I said, no, I mean tonight. I said, how late are you working tonight? He said, until about, I think he said 10 o'clock or 11, it might have been 11. 11 o'clock at night. I said, okay, well, I'd like to come back. Would that be okay? He said, that sure would. I mean, this whole time, there's people in line, and this is like Milwaukee, where everyone's mean. And, you know, no one's yelling or anything, and all that. And I'm going, this is great. I just saw it right there. So I went to the church, and we came back afterwards, after the service. And as I did so, I went to the car, I checked to make sure there's no back door. And I stayed out there, and I prayed. And finally, I waited until it was about time, and I walked in, and long story short, they asked him to work later. And it wasn't until about midnight that it came out. And so he comes out, and I'm standing there on the sidewalk, and I start showing him the scriptures. And I start, for some reason, that night with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I then asked, can we get in the car? It's cold. And so we got in the car and sat there and had the heater going. And I went through and explained to him, I said, Cortrell, all people are sinners and you are too. He said, yes, that's true. Because of our sin, there's a punishment and it's hell. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to take your punishment. He was buried and he rose again. And if you receive Jesus Christ by faith, you can be saved. Would you like to trust Christ as Savior? He said, I sure would. I said, well, would you pray right now? Just tell the Lord that, your decision, and ask him to save you. And I can help you, or you can pray by yourself. He said, okay, I'll pray by myself. I said, sure. I said, would you just do this? Would you pray out loud so I can hear? I'm glad I always do that. And he said, God, I don't know why I'm here or what my purpose in life is, but I'm so glad you brought me someone to show me from the Bible how I could go to heaven. And he prayed, and he trusted Christ as Savior. And if you listen to that and you say, wow, God got a hold of Cottrell's heart. Man, he saved his soul. I bet you he'd worked on him for a while. You're really missing the point. God got a hold of a thick-skulled evangelist who had tried and pushed self-effort, who went on soul winning because of drudgery and a guilt trip rather than because of love, who went and then tried to do this and do that and just felt relief sometimes when the conversation or the person wasn't at home. Is any of this making sense? And finally, I said, God, I've been trusting me. No wonder. I need to see that the gospel is still powerful. There are people ready to be saved right now, and you, Lord, can lead me to them. And I was so excited. I was thrilled. It's like almost 1 o'clock in the morning, like 12:45 or so, and I'm getting ready to drive out of the Walgreens parking lot. I said, God, where's the next one? This does work 24/7, right? You know, where's the next one? And I had an impression to go back into Walgreens. There must be all Walgreens tonight. So I turned back around. I went back into Walgreens. Now, you got a picture. I had a Bible bigger than this suit on. And I walked in with a cheesy grin, the only one I have. And as I did so, the security guard saw me and said, why are you so happy? I said, I'm a preacher, and I just told someone how to be able to go to heaven. And he said, whoa. And he's like, okay, back up. Yeah, we need somebody here. They got a crazy guy up front, you know. And I thought, well, you know, I'll be able to witness to the security guard that was there. It was a different one. And I was able to give him a gospel tract. And, of course, I couldn't talk to him in depth while he was there and guarding my life. But I was able to give him the gospel. I left that night. I was so thrilled. I got up the next morning. Ew, I was tired. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop someplace, but I want to see again you to work. And God was working. God was filling me. And here, he's just overflowing. And I said, okay, where's the next person? I'm driving down the road. I see Walgreens. No, they're not all at Walgreens. You know, I saw a gas station. So I pulled in. I had a piece again. This is where it should be. Nothing. I didn't hear anything audible. Nothing weird or wind or spooky. It was just a piece from the Lord. I get in. As I do so, I went up to the. I got my items that I need to buy. There are people in line, and then I got in line. There are people who got in line behind me. I got up to the front. I purchased it, and I said to the young man behind the counter, I said, here is a pamphlet, and it can show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. He stopped. He opened it, and he started reading it right there. I went, this is incredible. And I saw his name tag. It was James. I said, James, do you know for sure if you died right now, if you go to heaven? Fastest I've ever asked anybody. And this is my second sentence to the young man. I said, do you know for sure if you die, if you go to heaven? He says, well, I've been baptized. I said, how late are you working? He said, until 3 this afternoon. I said, do you mind if I come back and I can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven? He said, that'd be great. I went out to my car. I said, this is incredible. All I have to do is go from one convenience store to another all across America, buy junk food and a coffee or whatever, and be able to give them the track. Now, let me ask, what was going on? What was taking place? Was it the way I presented the gospel tract? No. Was it the great, deep, resonant voice? No, I wish I had one of those, and so do you. No. I'll tell you what was going on. The gospel is powerful. There are people ready to be saved. The Holy Spirit can lead you to them. And then here's the fourth, the Holy Spirit can empower you to speak, to give the gospel, and see them saved. The Holy Spirit can empower you to see them saved. Verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began to add the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know what? Did you know this? You don't have to publicly proclaim from a pulpit Jesus to preach. One-on-one, just proclaim Christ. Then you can preach. Go ahead. We'll let lady preachers for this one. Ladies, one-on-one, you can talk to another lady. You can talk to a child. You can talk to a family member. Adults, you can proclaim Christ, preaching Christ one-on-one. I'm not a public speaker. That's okay. I don't have a great personality. I can't talk a lot. That's fine. It isn't about you. It's all about the gospel that's still powerful. There are people ready to be saved. The Holy Spirit can lead you to them, and He can empower you to see them saved. That is it. When this started to happen in my life, folks, can you understand this? If I can say it, where you're not going to misunderstand. Soul winning now became easy. The drudgery and the guilt trip and all the struggles, even after you start to go, wow, and the fears and do they ever kind of creep back up? Yes. And I have to say, no, I'm dismissing that and I'm trusting you. And dear Spirit of God, would you help me again? And I remind myself of the truth. And when you go on truth and you're empowered by God's Word and His Spirit, I tell you, there is nothing that can stop a Christian from doing what God would have them do when they're just allowing Him to empower them. Where does God want you to go? Who does He want you to speak? And how does He want you to tell Him? God can use you right now. Would you say, I want to be able to do that? I remember my home church, I preached, I think it was even this message, and I shared the story about Walgreens. One of the members in our church said, well, I'm going to go to Walgreens tonight. And so he went to Walgreens, and he met a guy. He said, you know what, you ought to come to church. And so he said, okay, well, he came to church. He came to church that week of revival meetings, and he trusted Christ as Savior. He said, I said, no, that's not how it works. You're supposed to get saved at Walgreens. Now, you take him back there. No, I didn't do that at all. But you know what? You can do that. I remember after this, I was so excited. I asked my friend, I went to Florida and I asked my friend, I said, hey, do you want to go soul winning with me? He said, well, sure. And I said, well, you pick the area, we'll just go. He said, okay. So he picked the area and he got a map from the outreach pastor of the church. And so we went, we went to the wrong place. We got in the parking lot and we said, okay, let's pray. And I shared with him what God was doing. I said, let's just ask the Lord to lead us to someone that's ready to be saved right now. So we went, and as we did so, we started witnessing. It was 11 o'clock in the morning on a weekday. Who's home at 11 o'clock in the morning on a weekday? Not many people. I'm thinking, this is the absolute worst time to go. But we're going. Went to the first door, no one home. I'm not surprised. Second door, no one home. Third door, fourth door, fifth door, nobody home. About the sixth door, the way the bushes were, I just kind of walked in the front. And this time I knocked on the door. And an older man opened the door just a few inches, said, yeah, can I help you? I said, yes, my name's Chris, and this is Dan, and we're from such and such church, and we'd like to, and I couldn't even finish the sentence. He says, you want to come in and talk? Yes, we do. He said, well, let me put away the full-grown German Shepherd. Thank you. And so he puts the German Shepherd away, and he invites us in. He goes, you know what? It's just kind of funny. I was late for work. Here he is. He's in his 70s, and he's still working, and he's late for work. And he said, well, what do you want to talk about? I said, we want to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Okay. So I go through the gospel plan. I ask him, Mr. Gray, do you understand? He said, yes. And he said, you know, the funny thing, I've gone to church for a lot of years of my life, but this is the very first time I've ever heard what you're telling me. I said, that's not funny at all. But Mr. Gray, that day, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It could be door to door. It could be in a grocery store. It could be in your neighborhood. The Lord is not limited to use you if you're willing to say, God, I'm ready now to be filled. I'm ready now not to say tonight, I'm going to be a better soul winner. No. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to go and I'm going to be more faithful. The decision tonight, I believe we ought to make, is asking the Lord and saying, I'm available, I want to be ready to be filled with you, and I'm going to act upon the truths and the promises of Scripture. Because far beyond this service, and when our emotions fade, what's going to be the same? The Spirit of God and the Word of God. And He will take the unchanging Word, and the truths are going to be there. Don't make some decision. No, I want to be filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to act based upon the principles and the truths I've heard, and I want to be used. Because the truth is, if I'm honest, I do not have the power that God has promised to the Christian for witnessing. Tonight, where is your power? Let's ask the Lord for it. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it? Lord, do your work in only the way that you can.